Now, the church these days kind of seems submission as like a dirty word. Don't want to say that because we don't want to offend people and they won't come to church. We talk about submission and people won't like following Jesus and they won't come. When people's hearts are changed, then we're receptive to the Word of God and we're receptive to what God has to say. But we need to recognize that when we do not submit, we are exhibiting pride.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we continue our look at what the Bible has to say about the employee-employer relationship.
Yes, we will, David. And our primary passage is Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 to chapter 4, verse 1. But we'll be looking at a bunch of other scriptures that help us understand what God has to say about work. Okay, with that in mind, let's turn our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to begin with verse 22.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
We can think of all kinds of things, what it might mean by an unruly life and not according to tradition. Think of all sorts of terrible things some brother might be doing. But here, we're going to see the one leading an unruly life is simply one that's not working. Notice what he says here. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with labor and hardship, we kept working night and day so that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you that you might follow our example. Now, Paul said they took money from other churches at times, but they didn't take it from here because they needed to be an example because they had an issue. You see? So they worked and they showed them that. And then he says here, for even when we were with you, that's the first 3 weeks they got saved, we used to give you this order. If anyone will not work, let him not eat. I hear people, you know, they say, oh, there's no jobs available. Oh, they won't hire me. They got a million excuses. Oh, my back hurts. Oh, this or that, you know, a million excuses to not work, okay? And it's sin. It's sin. It's an unruly lifestyle. It is out of step. And guess what? People who choose to disobey God and are in sin, they're not happy. Their lives are messed up. See, work is a good thing. There's through labor, there's profit. It's a blessing. God gives us things to do. Okay? Because anyone would not work, neither let him eat. Basically, hey, don't give him the sandwich. Right? For we hear some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. And by the way, when you're not working, you got a lot of time to be a busybody. You got a lot of time to think about everyone else around you and acting like busybodies, okay? Now, such persons we command and exhort in the Lord to work. Now, if you're listening and you're not working, you're not even looking for work, this is what God says to you. He is commanding you to work. And he says here, in a quiet fashion and eat their own bread. Stop pulling money away from other people or food. It is unloving to do so. What you're pulling away could be used for the body of Christ for what God wants to do, not for your laziness. Okay, it's unloving. And so he says here, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. That means, hey, you got to address these issues, right? And if anyone does not obey our instructions, let her take special note of that man. Put their name down. Hey, so-and-so is not willing to work. And he says here, and do not associate with him. Hey, it means you're not going to hang out with him. You're not going to fellowship with him. Hey, it's game night. Nope, sorry. Right? You're not coming. You got to get a job. Right? Don't associate. I want to come over and eat lunch with you guys. No. No. We love you. But no. Get a job. God says you need to get a job. He says here, especially, do not associate with him so that he may be put to shame. Now, I'm not saying this and giving you my suggestions. This is what God says. Okay? And it's for their good. And yet, do not regard him as an enemy. He's not an enemy. He's a brother that's in sin that needs help. Right? Get mixed up and needs to get working, right? It's just that simple. Needs to get out and get a job. Okay? But admonish him as a brother. Okay? So one reason we work is to not be an undue burden on the rest of the body of Christ. But another reason why we work, Ephesians chapter 4, is that we might be able to give to those who are actually in true need. Ephesians 4, and I'll read this for you. Let him who steals, verse 28, steal no longer. Rather, let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who is in need. And that's not the guy that isn't working. Okay? He needs to be shamed so that he gets a job. Okay? This is those who are truly in need. There are times when people want to work. They're trying their best. They can't find a job. They're doing their best. They're whatever it might be, or in transition, whatever it is. That's not what I'm talking about here in 2 Thess. It is. That's the unruly life. Okay? So here, we see that. So, are you lazy? Get to work. Are you working? Realize part of why you're working is to share with those in need. Part of why you're working. Okay, so with that in mind, let's get to our passage and see what workers are to be in Christ. Okay? Look at our passage. Verse 22. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve, for he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Let's stop there for now, and we'll take a look at this portion first. But we're going to see that we should be totally different at work. You shouldn't just be a certain way at church. We should be a certain way all the time. We should be different as workers. And I hear people complain about work and stuff, and I just go, don't do it. We should be different. Hopefully this is convicting to all of us, because we're all tempted with the same things. So here, notice first of all, we have the mandate. We are to obey our earthly masters in everything. Wow. Now, this was slavery, but it certainly applies to the work relationship. We see that crossover in like what slavery was like in the Roman Empire. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth. Now, there are a few other passages, and we're going to dip into each one, but not fully that much. But just so you know, there's a lot said in the Bible about work. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 to 9, we'll look at that. Titus chapter 1, verses 9 to 10, we'll look at that. 1 Timothy 6, 1 to 2, we'll look at that. And 1 Peter 2, 18 to 20. We have a lot of passages about work. This is actually pretty important, by the way. So in each of these passages, we're going to see that they all speak of slaves or bondservants. The word is doulos, except for one, which is 1 Peter, where he uses the term of a domestic servant. Okay, 1 Peter doesn't say doulos, says he uses the term of a domestic servant. But much slavery was like that at that time. It was much like that, okay? So we see there, slaves, bondservants, you know, you're a slave to your boss for the time you're there. They tell you what to do and you do it, right? You're a slave to your boss. Now, we as believers are also called bondslaves of the living God. We are voluntary, willing slaves of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? We seem to apply in certain areas of our lives. We compartmentalize it, but it should apply to all areas of our lives, especially in the work relationship. So back in our passage, slaves in all things obey those of your masters on earth. The term is obey. We are to obey. And we have a parallel passage in Ephesians chapter 6. And I mentioned this, Ephesians 6, verse 5. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of your heart as to Christ. We see that there. We also see the idea of not just obedience, but submission. Titus chapter 2 and also 1 Peter speak of submission. Titus 2, verse 9, urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything. 1 Peter 2:18, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect. Okay, so there's not only obedience, there is submission. Now, the church these days kind of seems submission as like a dirty word. Don't want to say that because we don't want to offend people and they won't come to church, right? We talk about submission and people won't like following Jesus and they won't come, right? Well, when people's hearts are changed, then we're receptive to the word of God and we're receptive to what God has to say. But we need to recognize that when we do not submit, we are exhibiting pride. Think of these passages, James chapter 4, verse 6, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God, right? Think of 1 Peter 5, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders and clothe yourself with humility towards one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You see, the reality is when we don't want to submit, we got pride that has crept in. And we need to confess that, right? Because we are a people bent to pride, aren't we? Pride is the core of our sinfulness at times. So back in our passage, slaves in all things obey those who are masters on earth. The term obedient, we've seen this also earlier. We've seen it has to do with children obeying the Lord. We saw that. It means to put your ear under, to listen to do. Hupakuo. Put your ear under it so that you can hear it and then do what's said. It means you need to listen to your bosses. You listen to what they're saying. You're not sitting there going blah, 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 blah. You know, you're listening to what they say. They're telling you what to do. You're listening, right? You're listening to obey what they say. And it's in a continual obedience. Continually, habitually obey your masters. And notice what it is. It says here, who we are to obey, says in our passage, those who are your masters on earth. Now, literally, I don't know why they didn't say it this way, but it's literally your masters according to the flesh. And Ephesians will say the same thing. You see, we live in us two spheres. We live in a physical world and a spiritual sphere. And our master is in the spiritual sphere, but it applies to the physical sphere, right? And so in this physical place, we've got people that we have as masters in the work relationship. We are to obey our masters who are according to the flesh. 1 Peter 2:18, be submissive to your masters. Titus 2:9, be subject to their own masters. Pretty simple and straightforward command. Bond slaves are commanded in all things to obey and submit to those who are their masters on earth. You know, I hear people complain about work all the time. Yes, you know, sometimes we do need to talk about it. Hey, this is what's happening. Pray for me. You know, we need to share some stuff. That's fine. We've got to be careful that it doesn't become complaining. We're to do all things without complaining and arguing, right? Because if we complain and we get focused, then we start looking at our bosses wrongly. We start seeing things wrongly. We start seeing our work relationships wrongly, okay? So here, they're being obedient. And notice the sphere. He says here, in all things. Wow, there's no room for anything else, right? In all things. We see in all things. In Titus 2:9, it says, in everything. There's not one sphere that your earthly master can command you to do that you are not to obey. Now, obviously, if he's calling on you to sin, your bookkeeper, he's saying, ignore the so-and-so account, just don't write any numbers in there or whatever. You know, of course you're not going to sin, right? But you obey your masters in everything, right? In everything. So I want to ask you, are you listening to your masters in the flesh with the intent of obeying everything, submitting to them? So God says, if your boss asks you to do it and it's not sin, do it. You better do it. Because as we're going to see, your boss is not the real boss. It is the Lord Christ you serve, but you are serving Christ through that boss. Lots of people say, yeah, I serve Christ, and they remove that boss and put him over in this compartment, right? Uh-uh. You're serving this earthly boss because you're serving Christ, right? When your boss comes and says something to you to do, it's Christ coming through them and saying, do it. Okay, we got to think that way. Because when we do, then we are going to be good employees. And we're going to be those that reflect the nature of Jesus, right? And we're going to have redemptive opportunities because our bosses are not going to treat us well. Our bosses are not glorified, right? They're sinners, and they're going to make mistakes, and they're going to treat people. And there's bad bosses out there. And when we do what is right for our conscience towards God, it finds favor with him, right? 1 Peter chapter 2. So then, everything. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth. But wait a second, you don't know my boss. He is not a good man. She's not a good boss. They're terrible. Oh, and I could have 10 million excuses about how bad they are, right? We'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Because here's the solution to what do we do if there is a bad boss. 1 Peter 2:18. Servants, be submissive to your own masters with all respect. 1 Peter 2:18. Not only to those who are good and gentle. That meant there were some good bosses, right, back that day. Good servant masters, right? But also those who are unreasonable. Get your picture into slavery. It's a little different. It's more like work, you see, back in that day, okay? He says here, those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor for the sake of conscience towards God. That's the key. A man bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. They're not treating you right. You just bear up. I had a horrible boss when I was a pilot. He belittled me. He treated me horribly all the time in front of everybody. Everything that went wrong, he always blamed me in front of all the people. It was really bad. And I wanted to leave. I loved the flying, but I couldn't stand my boss. But I didn't leave until the Lord had me leave. You see, and you might just say, oh, it's terrible work. I'm going to go look for another job. There's so many jobs out there. Yeah, maybe, but you better pray first. You better pray, Lord, do you want me to leave this job? Or do you want me to submit here and continue in this job that you might be glorified? We got to be careful. We can't be our decision. Never lean your understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. But God may open a door after prayer to leave. And he did with me. It took years, but he did with me. And it was right. You know, when I told my boss I was leaving, he was like, just silent. Because he knew his control over me was done. You know, one time I was flying and his lawyer was in the seat next to me. You know, we let people sit up there. And he started saying, did you know every time you tell Joe that you have something important to do, like a wedding or something, he always calls us to work those days? I said, yep, that's what happens, you know. We had an unreasonable boss. He was unreasonable. But you know what? We're to, for conscience towards God, we're to do the right thing, right? Doesn't mean you don't pray, Lord, if you want me to go somewhere else. That's nothing wrong with that. But you stay in that situation until God leads you out of that, not you leading yourself out of there, okay? You stay in that situation. Now, some people don't want to hear that, basically. What about slaves these days? They probably would have desired to be free, right? Run away, whatever it might be. But if you look a little further in that passage in 1 Peter, he says, 1 Peter 2:20, for what credit if when you sin and are treated harshly, you endure it with patience? Hey, you blow it at your job or you sin and then they treat you harshly? There's no credit, right? But he says here, but when you do what is right and suffer for it and patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. That's pretty important. For you have been called for this purpose since Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example for you to follow in his steps. Your job just might be you following in the footsteps of Christ because he's going to use it for redemptive opportunities the way you respond to a bad boss. So before you run away and get another job, I'd be praying, Lord, is this where you want me to go yet? And if God gives you the green light, then go ahead. But notice we see here, this is what God says we're to do. Okay, so then we are working and we are to obey these commands, to be obedient in everything. Are you listening? Are you obedient? If not, if you go, well, I wasn't there. I had a bad attitude there. This and that. Just confess it, be forgiven, and step forward, right? Don't get into a guilt trip. You know, that's just pride. That's self-focus. Confess it. Lord, I was wrong. When they asked me to do that, I had a bad attitude. When he asked you to do that, I had a bad attitude. Lord, forgive me. Oh, I'm so sorry. And he'll forgive you, okay? Okay, so that's the command. We're to obey in everything. Now, look at the manner. There's a manner in which we obey. Because you could have the Eddie Haskells that come and obey. Oh, Mrs. Cleaver, I did the trash. You know, on the backside, his heart's all wrong, right? You know, doing eye service, whatever, lip service, right? So look at our passage. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service, as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than men. There's a duality here. You're working for the Lord, but you're treating your people well, right? Okay. Notice he says here, not with a faux fear of man. A faux fear of man, or as a man pleaser, or an eye service. The term says not with external service, or literally with eye service. You know, eye service. What does that mean? That means doing the things to be seen by somebody. Your boss says vacuum. You're like, and he walks up the door and you're like, right? That's eye service. That's doing it for him. Not that way. We're not to do that way, right? We're not to do things for our bosses merely for eye service as those who merely please men or are literally, in Greek, are man pleasers. They're out there to please men. Hey, if we were going to please men, we wouldn't be bond servants of Christ, right? Galatians 1. It should be from a different motive. So he says, don't do that. We are not to be those who do that. And there are people in every work location. If you've worked, you've seen people like that who are like that. They are at the job when the boss is looking, and the minute the boss turns the other way, it's all out the window, right? That's eye service. That's man-pleasing, okay? Okay, we're not to do that. And what about Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5? I'll read this for you. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service or man pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now, before we misunderstand this and say, well, I'm not going to please my boss, I'm not going to be a man pleaser, you know, we start to have a bad attitude, we should be pleasing to our bosses. We should be the most pleasing employees. When they think of their employees, they probably have a huge weight of burden. There's probably a few that come and go, wow, that's a blessing. You know what I'm saying? You know, we should be pleasing them. We should be not man-pleasing, but well-pleasing. Look at our passage here. And actually, let's turn to Titus chapter 2, because this helps us see some of the motivations. Turn to Titus chapter 2. We should not have a fake fear of man or a fake man-pleasing for a show, but we should be well-pleasing. Titus chapter 2, verse 9, urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be what? Look at this. Well-pleasing. Not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith. The term well-pleasing comes from the Greek verb eucharistos. You speaking of good. Aristos speaking of that which is pleasing. Eucharistos. And so here we see that we should be continually, habitually well-pleasing. Let me ask you, are you well-pleasing to your bosses? Are they pleased when they think of you, that you do your work? And it speaks of a continual habitual action. And then notice, it speaks of well-pleasing here. And it's interesting, every other time this word is used, it speaks of being well-pleasing to God. But where are we well-pleasing to our masters? Because through them we're serving the Lord, right? Ultimately, we serve Christ and not man. So we should be well-pleasing to our masters on earth. And then we're well-pleasing to him. You know, we need to recognize that this is what the Lord wants us to be. It's not man-pleasing. It's not eye service. It's a heart that is pleasing God and thus pleasing your boss. Now, in this context here, this well-pleasing here, it actually, in this statement here, there'll be well-pleasing, and then there's some things that are connected to it grammatically. So everything is well-pleasing, and these other things are connected. It's well-pleasing and not doing this. Well-pleasing and this. You see, it's all connected, okay? So looking here, he says to be well-pleasing. Then he says, not argumentative. Anti-Lego. Anti-against Lego to say. It means to contradict, to oppose, to argue. It speaks of verbal opposition. There is no way to be well-pleasing when you are opposing your boss with your words. There's no way. We are not to be argumentative. You may be absolutely right. This is the way it needs to be done. If you don't do it this way, there's a way to share those things with your boss, hopefully, without being argumentative. And if they don't listen, you just trust the Lord and you do your work heartily unto the Lord, right? And that. Be well-pleasing, but you're not well-pleasing if you're arguing with your boss. I'll tell you that right now. If you've ever been in a position where you've had an employee and they argue with you, that is not well-pleasing. Don't do it, okay? Now, it needs to come from a right heart. It's not some false, disingenuous thing like saw eye service where you're being real nice to them around them, but then doing something different, okay?
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, would you share again how we can obey these commands in the work relationship?
Again, David, it's what we've seen throughout the entire book of Colossians. It's a focus on Jesus Christ and our adequacy in him and our inadequacy within ourselves. You see, if we don't trust in Christ, if we don't abide in him, we can do nothing. But when we trust and abide in Jesus Christ, we can do whatever he calls us to do
because he's faithful. And as we trust him, he will empower us to do whatever he's called us to do. Now, as we've seen, this doesn't happen in a vacuum. It happens as we set our mind on the things above, not the things of earth. As we focus on Christ, as we have his word dwelling richly and his peace ruling over, that's the only way we can do what he calls us to do.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.